Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Manly blows its turbo, the Titans blow a roll gold opportunity, and Ivan blows his poo-poo valve. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit the Boys, live from the Craig Gower Twin Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB underscore podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former underscore legend. You find the bloke to my right-ish on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week dobbed Tony Abbott in for not wearing a mask. He's been confirmed as the halftime entertainment for both the AFL and NRL grand finals. And tonight he's wearing a McDonald's drive-through crew t-shirt. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, Fox Sports. A lot of people would have seen I put a tweet out on Sunday, former, just airing my grievances, you know, spitting truths as I do. I complained that on the Fox NRL's coverage, I put them in it, they put replays. They put replays on the big screen and they put the live action down the bottom corner. It's no good. It's stupid. It's a stupid idea. It seems the world agrees with me, former. The tweet got about 60,000 engagements, over 1,000 likes. The people were happy with my stand, just dropping truth bombs left, right and centre. One person who wasn't happy, however, was Michael Sullivan. He's the senior producer at Fox NRL. Not the good Michael Sullivan, head of Bluebet.
No, we love him.
Yeah, we love him. This Michael Sullivan.
We've done a check, haven't we? It's not the same.
It's definitely not the same. I wouldn't mess up that bad. So far, Fox Sports hasn't given us a job, so I'm teeing off on this Michael Sullivan, who's a ranger, who's in charge of Fox Sports. He told me in no uncertain terms that I should take up the issue with Channel 9. I told him I was on hold, waiting to give him a spray. Apparently Channel 9 gives them the telecast footage. But then he went out and put out another tweet. This is what his tweet said. The age-old should live or replay go in the box arguments rage on, he says. Takes me back to the first time that this was brought up in a meeting I was in. That was 2008. Again, in 2009, 2010, dot, 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 21. You get my drift. Some people will just whinge whichever way it's done or not done. His tweet got no likes, but it did get one reply that said, you've had so many meetings and you still can't get it right. So people have spoken, Sully.
Was that
sorted
from
out.
Sid Punts, that reply?
It was from my burner account.
Fair enough.
No, it wasn't me. The people have spoken.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Yeah, first story comes from the Rally Reader, and it's a couple hailed iconic for using beer boy instead of flower girl in wedding.
Yeah, mad.
Most weddings stick to a number of different traditions, particularly when it comes to wedding parties, Sid, such as having bridesmaids, groomsmen, and usually the maid of honour and best man too. Many couples, especially those with children in the family, also choose to have flower girls and page boys take part in their special day. Something which leaves all the guests muttering, "Aw." One pair of newlyweds, however, have gone in a completely different direction when it comes to the ceremony, and they've even been branded iconic, sharing a clip which revealed a beer boy, and we know him, walking down the aisle of their wedding, handing out beers in place of a flower girl.
Remember when we were going to go to the podcast awards, red carpet?
That's true.
And we're just going to hand out beers to everyone from our Esky on wheels that I went and bought. We should do that this year. If it's in Sydney this year, we should do that.
It'll be by Skype. We'll just hand them out to each other. Groom Brendan, who goes by the name I Bang Brides on TikTok, shared a clip of his friend walking barefoot down the aisle wearing a summer shirt, shorts, and beer bucket around his neck filled with flower petals and cans. The man usually alternated between throwing pink and red flower petals over people's heads in the crowd and then chucking beers.
Yeah, sick.
Thank goodness, says the rally reader, he didn't mix those two up, or that could have been a trip to A&E for an unlucky guest.
Yeah, he's classic, pretty funny, this fella.
Classic gear.
We should get him on as a writer for this show. That was great.
Or working at Fox, figuring out the replay thing. Anyway, the unusual wedding feature seems to have gone out of treat. His guests can be seen grinning as they're handed cold cans of beer. And it's not just the guests who are impressed with the beer boy, with hundreds commenting on the video to share their appreciation. This is actually iconic, one person commented, while another added, oh my God, I wish I was invited to the wedding just for the beer and the music. And a third wrote, I love that this wedding was exactly what you wanted it to be. It's absolutely awesome. Now, as tradition holds, Sid, yeah. Weddings, especially amongst the ladies, you know what I'm saying, ladies? If someone does something, you've always got to top them because that's what it's all about. If you've got a black panther, I'm going to have a black panther. So already someone has topped this idea of a beer boy. And they've got Coke kids, Sid. And I tell you what, Nadia Bartel, she was bridesmaid, matron of honour and the bride.
I want to go to a Bartel wedding. That'd be sick. But this got me thinking, former, when I get remarried, I'm going to have...
Matter of time, you'd imagine.
I'm going to have full credit to the boy's very own beer boy there. He's great at parties. Remember at our last Renown show, late into the night, he was dancing to the SKPs. With his jeans around his ankles, nobody's quite sure why, but he was having a sick time. Once again, we're ahead of our time, former, with our own beer boy. We set the trends around here. We smash glass ceilings and shit.
Full credit to the boys.
You hearing us, Fox? Next story comes from
I think that boat sailed, man. I shat where I ate. It's no good.
Next story comes from the Taranar Telegraph. Doctor warns against holding in farts and says it can have grim consequences. Society tells us that breaking wind in public is generally bad manners, but did you know it can be actually worse to hold your farts in? Dr. Vindaloo Ask Carter, an NHS surgeon, has warned that holding in your flatulence could cause the gas to re-enter your bloodstream with disgusting results.
Yeah.
In a TikTok video, Dr. Ask Carter explained, if you hold a fart in too long, it can be absorbed into your bloodstream and breathed out when you exhale.
This is where I get all my medical information from TikTok doctors.
If you hold a fart in too long, you'll be reabsorbed into your bloodstream and breathed out when you exhale. This is the reason it is believed that Fox Sports journalist Phil Rothfield hasn't farted in 38 years, therefore it makes him talk shit on a daily basis.
We're never getting a job at Fox now.
In for a penny, in for a pound, Sid.
Yep. Go hard or go home.
The doctor has racked up over 2 million views for his video on interesting fart facts.
It's just a standard tweet for me nowadays.
Which includes information on how many times a day we break wind on average, as well as the science behind why we fart. He claims people bottom burp 14 times a day and on average says the more the merrier, as it's important to let your buildup of gas out, he says. Dr. Ask Carter said, if someone tells you they don't fart, they are lying and you should disown them immediately, or they've got a bowel obstruction, which is a medical emergency. The doctor has told his 4.2 million TikTok followers that the average daily fart volume is enough to fill up a medium-sized balloon. He added 75% of farts are produced by bacteria in the large intestine. Digested food that isn't broken down is chewed up by bacteria, producing microscopic farts that accumulate and become one of your regular farts. 25% of farts are swallowed air that you don't burp and dissolve gases from the blood making its way into your intestines. He said 99% of a fart is non-smelly gases, usually hydrogen, carbon dioxide and methane. The 1% of farts that do stink are volatile sulfur compounds like hydrogen sulfide. In a second video, the doctor stated that trouser trumps travel at 7 miles per hour and also claimed that women's farts smell worse than men. I mean, finally, the world of science is saying what we've all believed, Sid, since that little piggy Eve scoffed that apple and dropped a couple of mid-afternoon high-fiber trouser trumpets in the Garden of Eden. And he said that vegetarians let rip more than non-vegetarians because of their high-fiber intake. However, the doctor agreed that this was very risky for most vegetarians, as most of them were so weak that half a dozen farts could see them drop dead from overexertion.
They always say, how do you know if someone's a vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yeah. But how good's a CrossFitter vegan?
But you can also tell because they stink of farts, former. It's their shitty diet. I don't know why anyone would hold in a fart. They're dead set hilarious. But I also don't know about this 1% of fart smelling. If that's the case, I'm in that club. I'm going to go get a 1%er tattoo on my neck because that 1% of the time, they stink 100% of the time.
Studies, you know, 60% of the time, it works every time.
It's quite pungent. Ooh, it's a formidable scent. It stings the nostrils.
I'm going to go get a 1%er tattoo.
FCTTV. Fine. 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 And next story comes from the Minamurra Mirror, and it's a woman gives 17-page relationship contract to boyfriend demanding gifts and dates.
Wow.
I'm in.
She sounds amazing. Please, read on.
A woman has written up a 17-page relationship contract with her boyfriend.
Cuck.
Her boyfriend told her to get fucked and smashed up her best friend. Might have made the last bit up, Sid.
That wasn't in the contract.
They decided to make the commitment after having met just 2 weeks before on Tinder. Mm. Oh, geez. Annie Wright, who predictably declares she's never wrong, decided to pen the contract, which after coming out of a previous toxic relationship, she wanted to figure out how to make dating work again.
Not this way, Annie. Not this way at all.
Oh, where do I sign up? In the lengthy contract, the girlfriend demands that her boyfriend should pay for date nights, buy her flowers at least twice a month, and work out 5 times a week. Annie met her boyfriend, Michael Head. Mick Head. Should be Dickhead if he signs that contract.
100%.
On Tinder last October, and soon came to the conclusion that he was her person.
He's one pen stroke away from being Mick Head to Dickhead. Be careful, brother.
Oh, her person. Even that term gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Ah, there's all sorts of wrong about Annie.
Not wanting to fall back into a bad relationship, Annie joked that the pair should write down their terms and conditions for dating. Michael, 23, eagerly agreed. Because he is towie.
He wasn't thinking.
And Annie can suck starter Harley to this unusual dating method. Shortly after, risk management and insurance student Annie, she's got everything going for her.
Wow.
And law student Michael sat down and read out their own rules for a relationship. Annie described her relationship as a business interaction and said the pair deal with conflict like partners in a business would. They even presented the contracts to each other like a scene out of The Apprentice. The terms included asking for a romantic gesture once every 2 weeks and a blowy every afternoon.
It sounds like Mick's a silent partner in this. I haven't heard much from Mick in all of this.
Mick's doing a lot of work out the back rooms, if you see what I'm saying. And he listed some of the agreements her and Michael came to, explaining, I don't think he'd think to give me gifts. But now every time he goes to the gas station, he must get me flowers. He likes quality time, so I wake up and go to the gym with him.
No, give the man some peace.
Even though most of the time I'm doing nothing, he enjoys chit-chatting.
He does not enjoy chit-chatting.
This is a carve-up. I don't like it when people pry. I'll talk when I'm ready, and I like to get my words together. Other clauses included no silent treatment and Michael having to pay for date night. However, Annie has stated that the biggest contract term is that we don't treat issues like one person is to blame ever.
Because we know who's to blame.
If I was going to point the finger. She said it could be particularly his fault and partially me being sensitive, or him being sensitive and partially my tone. Mm. And he credits the long-winded 17-page contract to the success of their relationship after 2 weeks with having been together for a year next month. I take it back.
Congratulations, kids.
The pair are even thinking about holding a yearly review. Michael's asked for the shareholders to come in, with Annie claiming they update the document every 6 months to search for areas of improvement.
Ring up Regan Campbell Gillard. Someone needs to help this guy.
The business-minded girlfriend admitted, "I bet," he writes, "I want you to take your shoes off when you come into my apartment because I always forget that," she added. "This has been a game changer. I'd recommend all couples have one. It's the best thing ever." And just on a side bet said, "I'll give it 2 more months."
Yeah, exactly. No, to be fair, former, I highly recommend this. This sounds great. What a catch this bird is. A contract is a good idea in a relationship because it just takes away any spontaneity and mystery. this is what real romance is about, former. This crazy chick now has the certainty that when old mate is going down the servo just for a bit of peace to buy some durries, she's going to get a bunch of servo flowers every time. Now, servo flowers are the nicest flowers, former. We all know that.
Oh, yeah.
Flowers that this bloke can look at all week long, sitting there on the dining table, wondering where his life went so wrong.
I tell you what, I'd be tempted while I'm getting the servo flowers to get her some servo sushi, if you know what I mean.
Is this chick hot former? She must be hot. She must be hot.
She's a bland six, I've got to be honest.
There is a photo of little awful Annie.
Yeah. Annie Wright.
The crazy hot
scale. If Annie's right, I don't want to be wrong.
Well, I tried. There's not much about Mick in any of this story. So I tried to reach out to old mate to get his side of the story. I sent him a message through the couple's joint Facebook account. But Annie said he was down the survey, so it's going to have to wait.
Jeez, couple's Facebook account, Sid. Is there alarm bells there or what?
Yeah, that was the final straw for me.
There's a bloke that's been caught cheating.
Someone send help. He's just gone down the servo. Now he's sitting in the garage attaching a pipe to his...
Just revving his car in the garage. I don't know what he's doing.
What's he's been down there a while.
NRL round review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Yeah, week one of the NRL semi-finals of 2021 and the Melbourne Storm beat the Seagulls 40 points to 12. In an absolute masterclass, Sid, the Storm started the semi-finals of 2021 with a classy 6-2 rugby league lesson over the Manly Warringah Seagulls. Leading up to this game, there were many suggesting that the Storm had lost some of the form over the past month that we'd witnessed during their 19 straight wins this year. But after just one semi-final, we're reminded why they've been red-hot favourites to win the comp in 2021.
Yeah, you're right. They were red-hot in this game, the Storm. They're a good team, former. You heard it here first. But with Josh had a car out, Bellamy turned to this guy. It's a bit long, but I had such fun recording it.
Probably only deserved two little lines there.
Yeah, because... you're not in charge of the stings. I am. That was requested by a creditor. So I went to town on it, playing some good guitar there. But anyway, that bloke, Lumi, he scored the first try for the Storm from an error by Manly that saw the Fijian Flyer, trademark, race away to score. But it wasn't all beer and Skittles for the Fijian Flyer, trademark, as Hall & Oates guitarist Morgan Harper flew over the top of him at one point to score for Manly. And then again, he cocked things up when he made an absolute meal of things. how bad was it?
Even Blake Ferguson was embarrassed.
Exactly. He spilt the ball for the Swedish shitbox Saab to score. So a mixed night for this guy.
No. Right.
This is a shorter one. It only goes for two. But this was a masterclass from the Storm with an arrogant 2-point field goal from Papa Giorgio right at the end, just to rub it in their faces.
Well, there's never been a better time in the history of the NRL where there are so many great fullbacks in. And viewers of this game went in licking their lips, waiting for the Papa Giorgio versus Turbo Tom Trbojevic shootout on Friday night. Most people agreed that Manly needed a 10 out of 10 from Tom for Manly to win the game. However, it was his opposite in Papa Giorgio who delivered the masterclass. He ran for 125 metres, he made two tackle busts, a line break, he scored two tries, seven goals, that arrogant two-point field goal.
Yeah, that was great.
Help lead his side to the win. The expected Tom Trbojevic highlight reel never eventuated. He finished with 118 metres, including just 27 running metres in the second half, a tackle bust, an offload, an error, a penalty conceded, and a missed tackle in probably his worst performance in 2021.
Yeah, they really shut down Tommy Turbo in this one. That's what good teams do, former, and they're a good team, the Storm. Turbo even admitted after the match that the way the Storm played, he found it hard to inject himself into the game, and it proved a winner for the Storm. Shut down Turbo, and you shut down Manly, but you wouldn't expect him to have two quiet games in a row, old Tommy T. He'll probably come out and brain Parramatta this week, and he'll need to, as it's all sudden death footy from here on in.
Yeah, well, we go to Friday night again. Saturday, and we talk about sudden death footy. The Sydney Roosters beat the Gold Coast Titans in an absolute canter, 25-24.
This was a great game of footy.
Well, it was an absolute nail-biter, Sid. The Roosters somehow hung on to secure that one-point win against a gutsy Titans team, with Sam Walker kicking an arrogant field goal 2 minutes from time to secure the game. Both teams gave it their best to lose the game, but it all came down to the final play as the Titans had to take advantage of the Roosters' defence, trying to get back with Patrick Herbert, unable to find the good Fifita or even Corey Thompson with a pass, and the Roosters hung on by the skin of their dick. The Titans should have scored the try in the final 5-6 seconds of the game, but the Roosters secured the win in the end and move on to a semi-final against Manly. The Gold Coast team finished the year with an incredible record of not beating a single team and inside the top eight, and they'll need to improve a number of areas to move forward in 2022.
Yeah, well, they should have really won this one, snatched it at the death. Your mate Herbert only had to pass to his unmarked winger, Corey Thompson, or pass the ball inside to the good Fifita, and the Titans would have snatched it. Corey Thompson was blowing up deluxe at Herbert.
He took it well, I reckon.
He walked away from teammates as the siren sounded. He could be seen with his arms out screaming. Now, I'm no lip reader, but I'm pretty sure he was screaming, "That was an unfortunate choice of play, Herbert. There was a chance we could have won that match," or words to that effect. I'm not sure. But after he calmed down, Corey Thompson reached out to Herbert on Instagram, where all things get resolved, former. He said on Insta, "All love for my brother, Herbert. Love playing outside you. We grow and move on. And hopefully you can move on to St. George next year, you fuckwit."
Good pass, dickhead.
Dickhead.
The position of fullback is the most important position in the modern day rugby league game, Sid. And once again, we witnessed an absolute star in James Freddie Tedesco do what he does best and grab a game by the scruff of the neck and probably prove to be the difference between the two teams in the end. Tedesco had 113 running metres, five tackle busts, two offloads, a line break, three line break assists, three try assists, and a try in an absolute red-hot game. While ever teams have players like Papa Giorgio, Turbo Tom Trbojevic, Freddie, or Dane Laurie, they're a chance of a win no matter the circumstances.
I'm glad you put Dane Laurie in there with the greats. But this was a great game of footy, and the Titans pushed the Roosters right to the end. It had everything this match former, a sin binning, Jared Wallace taking an intercept, and then he didn't know what to do. He was just running down the field in the clear at snail's pace. Had a bomb try at the end from Herbert. But the Titans, I reckon, can hold their head high. A good season from them, and a lot to like for next year with the likes of the youngster Jaden Campbell having a cracking season.
The second game on Saturday saw the South Sydney Rabbitohs probably deliver the upset of the year, beating the Penrith Panthers 16-10. In an absolute epic game, the Bunnies have upset last year's grand finalist, the Panthers, in a six-point victory. It was 10-all at halftime, and South Sydney scored the only try in the second half to cause one of the biggest boilovers of the season to get one win from a grand final. The Bunnies have lost twice to the Panthers this year before their Saturday night win, including a 50-point loss at Parks. but they exercised those demons with a famous 3-2 grinding, gutsy victory.
I don't think Penrith has been the same since West Tigers beat them all those weeks ago, but what a fantastic game of footy this was. A true semi-final match, even though it wasn't a semi-final, it was a preliminary, whatever. South Sydney's defence was outstanding, keeping the Panthers to just 10 points when they average about 28 points a game this year. Amazing performance from the Bunnies. This is their fourth preliminary final in a row coming up. They haven't gone past this point in the past 4 years, but this is the first time they've won their first semi-final. So can they go one better this year? They'll play the winner of the Roosters and Manly. Can they go all the way, former? On that performance, they are definitely looking red hot and are definitely in with a chance.
Yeah, well, here it is. Leading into this game, South Sydney coach Wayne.
Let me just say, after that epic game, I thought, yeah, I'll just watch the presses. It was just as epic. This is so good.
Leading into this game, South Sydney coach Wayne Bennett hit out at Penrith for using illegal block plays to protect playmaker Nathan Cleary, accusing the Panthers of training for the tactic and confirming he's contacted the NRL about the issue. After the loss, Penrith supercoach Ivan Cleary had a crack at Wayne Bennett's pre-game tactic of pointing out what he believed to be an illegal tactic that Penrith used. Bennett said he had it from a very reliable source that they practice it at training. Now, Cleary, after the game, said that the game should come down on any coach that deliberately tries to manipulate referees and try and influence them, thinly veiling a reference to Wanye. Cleary said that after the game, if we have a crack at the referees, we get fined. But pre-game, it's all open slather.
Suki lala, whatever.
Bennett declared in the post-match press conference that there is no manipulation. Well, you say I was vocal, he said. I didn't start the conversation publicly. I said nothing publicly. This happened 3 weeks ago. I sent some information to the referees for clarification. So I wasn't going public with anything until Penrith started to come out and they started the public statements. I just responded to those. I wasn't going to sit back and not stand up for my team and my players. Some suggest that Ivan Cleary's battle with Wayne Bennett may be a sign the prospect of a 15th season without a premiership might be getting to him. Cleary sits second on the all-time list of coaches with the most premiership games without tasting grand final glory, behind only one, Brian Smith. Cleary has coached 367 NRL games for no grand final wins. Smith coached 601 over his career.
Yeah, I'm just going to play some highlights from the press conference because it was sick. It was as exciting as the game was. An absolute masterclass from Jedi Master Wanye Bennett over his young Padawan, Judas Cleary. Judas, dead set, brought a spoon to a knife fight. Have a listen to this.
Probably not the forum to talk about it, but the NRL has got to make a decision on whether they're going to allow coaches to deliberately manipulate referees and try and influence them. Coaches do it because they can. You know, our boys were certainly being spoken to on the run for stuff that we never get done for, so I'd suggest that, that type of thing has an influence. As I said, I was guilty of it myself because I had to, because, you know, we had to respond. But I think the game could do itself a favour and come down on any coach who wants to try and deliberately influence a match official before a game.
Wayne, you were vocal during the week about the blocking. Did you think that was better adjudicated tonight?
Well, you say I was vocal. I mean, I didn't start a conversation publicly, right? I said nothing publicly. This happened 3 weeks ago. I sent some information to the referees for clarification, so I wasn't going public with anything until Penrith started to come out and they started the public statements, and I just responded to those. I wasn't going to sit back and not stand up for my team and my players.
Ivan Cleary just sat in here and said he doesn't think coaches should be able to say things like that pre-game. You're fine post-game if you say things that might have an influence over the officiating or the result.
Well, I couldn't agree with him more on that, but that's why I didn't say anything. I never said anything for 3 weeks. We played him 3 weeks ago. He was the one that's come out and started mouthing off. So just get that in his right perspective. So if he's critical of himself. But South Sydney had no say whatsoever until he come out and started to talk it all up.
In turn, like you said, the media is turning on Judas. They've run out of Tigers articles to write now that we're not in the comp anymore. So they're caning Judas Cleary, as you said, comparing him to Brian Smith, saying the Panthers' premiership window has severe damage, 15 years without a premiership, and his press conference performance under immense scrutiny sees this one go Bennett 1, Judas 0.
He genuinely looked foolish. That's all I can put it. All I can say.
He did. This isn't me with sour grapes. Like, I love seeing him flipping and flopping around and looking uncomfortable, but this was embarrassing.
Yeah. He looked like a boy tackling his dad in the backyard playing footy. He looked like you trying to tackle David Fifita. He looked so silly. He looked.
I'd drive him into the ground in a touch. Easy. But obviously, where he says that, at halftime, the players were talking about it as well, saying, yeah, we're getting called on the run for all this stuff. Bennett just did the best mind game ever. He just did Jedi mind tricks on him, kept him to 10 points, and is now in a grand final qualifier.
And like you say,
and the Panthers are over the other side.
The coach just fed into it.
Yep.
Huge, huge mistake. Huge mistake. Yep. And then doubled down after the game, which, I mean, Jesus, if you're in any danger to wondering how smart Ivan Cleary was, there it is.
He started off by saying, blow kisses
to the Tiger crowd all you want, mate. Yep. You look like an absolute goose the other night.
He started off, this is probably not the forum to say this, and then went on to say it. You idiot. What an idiot.
Outside voice, inside voice, Ivan.
What about the Fox commentators when they went back to the studio? They're all like, what the hell just happened there? We didn't think Bennett would say much. He'd just be like, yep, we won. Yep, that was good. Yep. No. Yeah, if Panthers and Cleary want to start mouthing off, it's like, where's this been? Sensational. Yep.
Brilliant. We went to Sunday and the Eels beat the Knights 28 points to 20. The Eels get to play one more game in 2021 after holding off a fast-finishing Knights in Rockhampton to secure the 8-point victory. At halftime, it was 16-10 to Parramatta and they ground their way to the win, scoring 5 tries to 4, including a controversial penalty try later in the game. After letting a 12-point second-half lead evaporate as Newcastle hit back with 3 consecutive tries and leading by 2 points with just over 3 minutes remaining, Will Panisi, my favourite Panisi, was awarded a penalty try when it was deemed by the bunker that Newcastle winger Inari Tuala took him off the ball while attempting to pounce on a grubber destined for the end goal. Replays showed the grubber placed by Clint Torres Gutherson hit the ground before it hit his foot, and immediately after the game, Parramatta team advisor Sid Punce declared that King Gutho was just looking to take a cheeky field goal.
Yeah, look, he didn't strike it the best, but it was definitely a field goal attempt. It's totally within the rules. You can drop kick the ball anywhere around the field.
Anywhere.
Sure.
Anywhere.
Sure. Normally people do it from under their goalpost for a dropout or when they're attempting a field goal. But geniuses like Clint Torres, sometimes he thinks, you know what would be really good here? We could probably score a penalty try if I drop kick this. And that's what he did. It's totally within the rules. It's hard to take for Knights fans. I get that, but nothing illegal about it.
I tell you what. Can't they blow up like a toad? Holy
Oh,
golly.
Yeah. Yeah. But wow. Look, what can I say? I don't even know what it's like to blow up after a semi-final loss. It's been that long. I can barely remember it. But what I do remember is Benji Marshall doing this exact same thing for the Tigers, and this was a bajillion times worse. I reckon he dropped it and then just put his foot out, tried to grubber kick it. So I got no dramas with that drop kick. I'm not so sure that a penalty try should have been awarded. With the Roosters one, they seem to have made that a grey area, but I've seen worse given. But all things considered, a good effort from the Knights. They went close, but the mighty Mitch Moses steered the Parramatta Eels to victory with an outstanding game, credit where credit's due. He was enormous in this one. He needs a haircut.
I don't know.
He needs a haircut. Cut your hair, you hippie. You look atrocious.
What about
that? Yeah, he looks like nobody owns him. But a great running game from him. It's just a shame that he'll probably go missing next week against the might of the Panthers. But you are always welcome on the show, Mitch.
Newcastle had the second worst attacking record in the regular season. And the worry in this one was that if it became a gunfight, the Knights would be caught short. With 5 minutes left, the Knights were in the contest and everything they did well was down their left side. It's the side that Kalen Ponga favours, Sid, and during the year...
Surprise, surprise.
The well-regarded Bradman Best has shown glimpses of just how good he can be, but against the Eels, he was used as basically a seventh forward, running for 154 metres from 20 carries and looking absolutely gassed in the midway through the second half.
He's a big boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's built low to the ground. Might explain why Ponga was less effective in the last 20 minutes of the game, going a few sets without even seeing the ball in his hand, which blew my mind. Yep. O'Brien will need to figure out how to make his team click. He has talent across the park and experience in key positions, yet a 50% winning record is a long way from where this team should be. It's hard to imagine they'll be in and around the top four in 22 without some hard lessons learned from this season.
Yeah, I was much like everyone else. I didn't really give the Knights much chance in this one, but they held in there in a close game. A great try from Hymel Hunt, who ran through the whole Parramatta defensive line on his way to the try line, saw the milkshake man, Ponga, do his best Aaron Woods impersonation in the try celebrations. He jumped over and nearly impaled his head into the grass. But that try put the Knights up just before halftime. Then Mitch Moses stood up and scored a great try in the 35th minute. And then 2 minutes later, they went over again and it swung the match as the Eels live to fight another day. Until next week.
Yeah, first story this week said the NRL have made the huge call to move Melbourne Storm's preliminary final to avoid a scheduling clash with the AFL Grand Final. The Storm will play the winner of Saturday's Panthers v Eels sudden death semi-final, with the preliminary final originally scheduled to kick off at 7:50, which would have put it head-to-head with the AFL Grand Final on Saturday, September 25. That will no longer be the case, with the NRL moving the game to an earlier 4 p.m. kickoff to give the clash clear air before the AFL's decider between the Melbourne Demons and the Western Bulldogs, which starts at 7:15. Rugby League is about the fans, who have made it clear across the weekend that they are disappointed about having to choose between the prelim final and the AFL Grand Final, which is scheduled to play at the similar time. NRL CEO Andrew Abdo said, with his tail between his legs.
Well, I don't think his tail was between his legs. I've got just one issue with this, and that is your pronunciation of preliminary. But anyway, I think this is the right decision.
Without a doubt in the world.
Any rugby league game that goes up against the AFL Grand Final, you're going to lose some of your audience. This, with a Melbourne side playing in the afternoon that Melburnians love, they will be watching the Storm and then going across to the Grand Final. This is a no-brainer for me. Anyone that's blowing up about this has got no idea.
As I said to you before, Sid, I listened to a little bit of Melbourne radio, and the one thing that they've been saying is, first of all, I reckon 55-45 split that Melbourne people don't want a Twilight Grand Final.
Yes, they hate it.
They'll cop it this year because it's at Perth, obviously, and they're in lockdown. But the general consensus is they don't like it because they're in the habit of having a barbecue at lunchtime and the game kicking off at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then done by 5, and then they get on the piss. Great afternoon, whatever else, right? But now they're going to kick off at 7:15, which they're saying is, we all get together at midday, but we've got to kill some time. What better way than put the Melbourne Storm, their team, on live to fill the 2 hours before the AFL? It's a no-brainer.
In a preliminary final.
In a preliminary semi-final. It's a no-brainer, Sid. Honestly, it
is. Absolutely, it is.
I don't understand. I've seen arguments against this. I'm thinking, you actually don't understand how this all plays out. They love this sport, Melbourne. Don't kid yourself.
It's a commercial decision, and it's the correct decision.
Correct decision without a doubt in the world, mate. Without a doubt in the world.
AFL would come out and say, we're not moving our games. Blah, blah, blah. Let's not be like AFL. This is just a smart decision to support a Melbourne side in the NRL to increase their audience.
Absolutely.
It's a no-brainer for me.
The Brisbane Broncos have been caught up in a controversy after a report emerged of a bust-up between two star forwards.
You just do this to annoy me, don't you? Keep going.
Courier Mail first reported on Tuesday morning that Thomas Schmegma and Jordan Rickey clashed during the club's postseason celebrations. A lot to celebrate. The pair was engaged in an innocent wrestling session before Ricky began skylarking, angering Schmegma. Ricky was left bloodied, according to the Courier Mail, and required stitches. We were out last Wednesday night. We got in a wrestle that went a little wrong, and Jordan ended up with a cut on his face, Schmegma said. We went our separate ways that night, and I gave him a call the next day to sort it out. It was silly, and I apologise. We've agreed to keep our wrestling sessions to in-season from now on, Ricky said. Meanwhile, he confirmed that Schmegma reached out to apologise. He said, Tom reached out to me the next day. We spoke about what happened, and he said he was absolutely sorry. I never said I was sorry.
Well, they should
might
have
reached, that last bit.
They should have reached out to each other and publicly apologized on Instagram. That's where all great apologies happen. But my sources up in Brisbane say Schmegma's a bit on the nose up there, former. I don't know why grown adults get on the cans and start to wrestle. Just don't wrestle. What's the matter with you people? But the NRL off-season scandal count is back to zero. Zero days.
He's hoping that's the worst we hear about the off-season this year.
This will not be the worst. But it's currently 0 days since the last scandal.
It's a nice little warm-up. Queensland Origin great Billy Slater has addressed speculation that he's been approached to be the next Maroons coach. During Melbourne's 40-12 win over Manly on Friday night, Slater responded to reports that he is a front-runner to become the Maroons head coach after Paul Green's shock exit. I want to stress that we haven't gotten to an offer or acceptance sort of thing just yet, he said. There's been an expression of interest in coaching the Queensland team, and given the care that I have for Queensland and how high I rate the role, I'm certainly considering it.
He would be a great choice, former, with all his coaching skills and experience. He's currently helping out coaching St Kilda in the AFL. So if he gets the job, we're going to have to pick Tedesco at the back there for all the bombs they're going to put up. Well, I don't know what coaching experience Billy Slater has, but it's still better than Paul Green, let's be honest. An interesting decision if it does happen. Queensland coach, I don't know, Bennett, Slater, I'm not sure which way I'm leaning there, former.
Channel 9 report that the Canterbury Bulldogs have given under fire star Adam Elliott the arse, with his contract torn up as the fallout from the toilet tryst controversy worsens. The club claimed the move was in the best interests of both parties after discussions in recent days, with his sudden exit effective immediately. The Bulldogs and Adam Elliott have agreed to part ways effective immediately, it says. The Bulldogs said in a statement, blah, 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 blah. The Bulldogs' decision came as Elliott was sanctioned last week by the NRL for a toilet tryst at a Gold Coast restaurant with NRLW star Millie Boyle. Elliott was fined $10K and told to complete education and training regarding the obligations of the NRL and NRLW players in public. However, he claims that it's an improvement in his life because it wasn't someone's girlfriend he was sleeping with.
Yeah, the Bulldogs and Adam Elliott have come out and said, it's in the best interest of both parties and Canterbury's salary cap that I move on. So, of course, as soon as this happened, Elliott has been linked to a move to the Tigers, as everyone is. This week alone, we've had Elliott, Curtis Scott and Aaron Woods all said to be picked up by the Tigers. God help me. But I spoke to Adam Elliott the other day when he and me missus came out of the bathroom together.
hasn't been the same. She hasn't walked straight since.
It's the first time she's been in that ensuite for weeks. She's been scared off it now. I don't know. She's walking with a limp. But apparently Adam Elliott is keen to join the Tigers along with Mitchell Pearce next year. So watch this space, everyone. Watch this space.
For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL and the Melbourne Demons will face up against the Western Bulldogs in the AFL Grand Final to be played in Perth in just under a fortnight's time next Saturday. The second year in a row, the Grand Final has been played outside of Victoria. This year, it's in Perth. And I'm not sure if they're taking any turf over for this one, Sid.
Yeah, remember that. They should. They should take some turf over
there. One of the great dumb moves I've ever seen.
They've got plenty of time to do it because they have this stupid dumb buy round as well. Yeah, get some turf over there.
Racing cars.
Eddie Maguire can't take it over there. He's banned.
That's right. Racing Cars Australian driver Daniel Ricciardo has won the Italian Grand Prix in a race marred by a crash between Dickhat duo Max Verstappen and defending champion Lewis Hamilton, who crashed out in frightening circumstances. It was Ricciardo's first win since Monaco in 2018 and McLaren's first win in nearly 9 years since Jenson Button took the checkered flag in Brazil in 2012. The Western Australian won the Monza race after a brilliant start allowed him to pass Verstappen, who started from pole position at turn one. He finished 1.7 seconds ahead of McLaren teammate Lando Norris and 4.9 ahead of Mercedes' Valtteri Bottas, who turned in a strong performance starting from the back row of the grid after taking a penalty for a new engine.
Yeah, you know, I love car racing. A lot of people have written Ricciardo off. I haven't. I've been following his career religiously, and this was great to see him get up on the podium and have a shoey, whatever.
Sideshows. Boxing. Whoa,
what? Sideshows. Okay, cool.
Boxing legend Evander Holyfield was back in the ring for the first time in a decade on Sunday as he faced mixed martial arts great Vitor Belfort. There were pre-fight concerns over the age and condition of Holyfield, who was fighting in Florida just 1 month before his 59th birthday. Perhaps unsurprisingly, it was 44-year-old Belfort who won the fight, victorious in quick time, with Holyfield clearly, despite being in good condition for his age, not close to being the fighter he once was, down in just one round.
Yeah, I put heaps of money on him as well, Holyfield. I thought he was a good chance.
Jesus Christ.
He's looking good for 59.
But he is looking good, 59,
yeah.
But
yeah,
his brain must be porridge.
All that says to me is there's still a chance that I could make my debut fight. It's not time over yet. But the biggest boxing story this week was the fact that former President Donald Trump made his debut as a boxing commentator. I love Trumpy. He's hilarious. He's now living the dream down in Florida and commenting on boxing matches, a role that he was born for. He's got a very clever boxing brain. Here's some of the stuff that he said pre-fight.
Well, there's somebody in the world, not only a professional boxer, because I'll take a pass on the professional boxers. That could be a very dangerous subject. But if you said, if I had to box somebody, I think probably my easiest fight would be Joe Biden. I'd like to take him behind the bar. He'd be in big trouble if he ever did. Now, I think Biden would go down within the first few seconds.
Maybe Evander Holyfield should have fought Joe Biden. There's a better match.
As about as impressive as his political career. Soccer, pink ribbon hater Cristiano Ronaldo admitted his unbelievable return to Manchester United had exceeded his expectations as the Portuguese star shrugged off his nerves to score twice in Saturday's 4-1 win against Newcastle. Ronaldo returned to United in a blockbuster move from Juventus last month, 12 years after leaving Old Trafford to join Real Madrid. The 36-year-old marked his second United debut in style with a goal in each half in front of 76,000 adoring and forgiving fans.
An incredible game from the very likeable Cristiano Ronaldo former. Two goals in this one that prove what a genius he is on the field and should quieten any critics or witnesses in court cases. Leave him alone. What? He's allowed to do whatever he wants. He's good at soccer. It's like Michael Jackson. He was a great singer. Don't worry about what else happened. Look over there, not over here. And that was just me getting my Michael Jackson reference in yet again.
Tennis. Britain's 18-year-old Emma Raducanu became the first qualifier to capture a Grand Slam title by defeating Canada's 19-year-old Leila Fernandez on Saturday in the US Open Women's Final. Raducanu, ranked 150th, was the first British woman in 44 years to win a Slam crown after dispatching 73rd-ranked left-hander Fernandez 6-4, 6-3. Not since Virginia Wade in 1977 at Wimbledon had a British woman taken a Grand Slam singles title, with Raducanu the first Briton to claim the US Open crown since Wade in 68.
So we've got a qualifier winning, ranked 150, and she beat 73rd-ranked Fernandez. What's going on in women's tennis? Where is everyone on holidays? Are they in COVID lockdown? What happened here?
Tough day for scalpers, I'd imagine.
This is fantastic. An 18 versus a 19-year-old. This is outrageous.
Tennis, Daniil Medvedev.
Oh, more tennis. Yeah, go on.
He pulled off an incredible performance to upset world number one virologist Novak Djokovic
Novaks.
In straight sets, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4 in the US Open final. The Russian's victory is the first Grand Slam title of his career and stopped Djokovic's attempt at a 21st Grand Slam title. Rod Laver's 52-year-old record as the last men's singles calendar year Grand Slam winner survives another year. Let me just say that again. He was going for the Grand Slam and didn't get it. Rocket Rod did it 52 years ago. That's
no one cares. I'm pretty sure people tuned out after that first tennis story. But keep going. What do we got? Give us some good sports. What do you got? What do you got?
Tennis.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Australian's Dylan Allcott has made history winning the US Open to claim the Golden Slam.
Oh, no, this was good. This was good. I'm listening again.
With victory at all four majors as well as the Paralympics in the same year. Allcott defeated 18-year-old Niels Vink in the final, 7-5, 6-2. He said, "I can't believe it. I just won the Golden Slam. I used to hate myself so much. I hated my disability. I didn't want to be here anymore, and I found tennis. It changed and saved my life, and now I'm become the only male ever in any form of tennis to win the Golden Slam. It's pretty cool."
It is pretty cool, and he's put it all down to his drop shot. You play those drop shots, former, and if you're in a wheelchair, they're very hard to get to. I dealt with this last week. It's the same in ping pong and the same in tennis. But what a champion, what a great Australian. Although someone commented on Twitter the other day, it was just full of praise for Dylan Allcott. And then one bloke's like, "Yeah, you know what, just don't like the bloke."
What?
Someone's like, "Just don't like him. Just the vibe of him, just don't like him." So, yeah, cool. Go and kick Santa in the balls, you asshole.
Wow. What is Barnaby Joyce doing these days on Twitter, commenting on things like Dylan Allcott anyway?
Another great Australian.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
Yeah, right, Sid, for the third last time in 2021, let's do this.
I want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your ways. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
It's time for Grab a Mirror, the greatest podcasting segment in all the world. It's sponsored by the greatest electrical company in all the world, at NDF_electrical. Follow them on Twitter, or at least get a quote from them if you're up there on the north coast of New South Wales. Don't forget, you can reply to my tweets. They're on a Tuesday at around 7:30 a.m. Use the hashtag, and I've kicked a couple out because they didn't use the hashtag, Sid. Use the hashtags Grab a Mirror, hashtag GAM.
Rules are rules, people.
Same thing around 3:30 the same day. Reply with the hashtag GAM or hashtag Grab a Mirror.
There was a lot of chit-chat on Twitter, sorry to interrupt you. There was a lot of talk on Twitter this week about Grab a Mirror being literally the greatest podcasting segment of all the lands.
Well, I don't know what runs second.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, so I've put it out there to creditors.
Oh, maybe someone, Christopher Pine might run something, I suppose.
Yeah, Pine Time. Pine Time's pretty
good. Probably got a great segment somewhere.
Yeah, I've put it out there to creditors. I want that on a trophy. Send it to P.O. Box 4166 Oatley West, because the podcast awards, they're not returning my calls, and Fox, they're not going to give us any awards.
And you've shit-canned SEN, so they're gone.
SEN, they're not rating very well. We're not getting a start there. So someone send me a trophy for the greatest podcasting segment of all the lands.
At Dogstar_01, Grab a Mirror Queensland. For years you've been whining about not having an NRL grand final in your third world province. There are people who fought, but New South Wales have finally given you one. You can't even manage a team good enough to feature. You'll have to eat bats before you get another shot at this. Hashtag NRL, NRL finals, come home.
Nine.
At Big Mac Keeper. Grab a Mirror. You put it at Grab a Mirror. You just fought.
It's close enough. It just snuck through on a technicality there.
The Gambian government's fucking got another one through. grab a mirror, NRL underscore journalism. Then he's put in brackets. Can't put them all in because I'm blocked. For not turning your massive network of spies into what started the COVID outbreak, the way you've carried yourself for being in the know would have been actually helpful over this topic. Undoubtedly, though, Madge would still be to blame.
Poor Madge.
Eat. At Gav Brett. Hashtag grab a murder.
Hey?
Hashtag grab a murder at former underscore legend.
What's a murder?
I don't know. You said last week South will go in straight sets. Go out in straight sets, and it just shows even petrol head roadmap face old buzzard Rothschild knows more about footy than you. Hashtag former is brain dead. Hashtag buzz got you covered. Hashtag that one's embarrassing.
Wow, there's a lot in that tweet.
It's a decent point. But grab a murder yourself.
For someone throwing stones, you can't even spell mirror.
Seven.
At Jared Campo.
Hey, Campo.
And he's put a tweet of Nicki Minaj's in here. I'll read Nicki.
One of the great tweets.
I've read Nicki Minaj's tweet. She's lost her mind. she says, my cousin, didn't even start with hashtag grab a mirror, but I'll let her in anyway. My cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision and not bullied. I'll tell you what, if it didn't swell the balls but just went further up the ladder, I wouldn't have been that disappointed.
Well, that's what I was thinking. What's she complaining about? It's looking good. You'd be like, huh, this is the best I've ever looked.
Jared Campo wrote, hashtag grab a mirror at Nicki Minaj for claiming the vaccine caused your cousin to become impotent and his testicles to swell. May I suggest his anaconda was swimming up a foreign stream and picked up a few bugs along the way. Hashtag I'm not a doctor. Hashtag keep the swelling doctor. Hashtag crippled anaconda.
What an epic grab a mirror entry that was. I feel like I've just been around the world and discovered so many things.
Six.
At Mark Annabelle. Hashtag grab a mirror, all you journalists that keep mentioning something passing a pub test. If you haven't noticed, nothing passes a pub test at the moment because there's no fucking pubs open to conduct it in.
Good point.
Five.
At Tony Greenall 4.
Hey, Tones. Hey, brother.
As the season comes to an end, hashtag grab a mirror, at former underscore legend, and at Sid Punts.
Hey.
And take a long, hard, or short and soft in Sid's case, look at yourselves and realise what magnificent bastards you are. Hashtag thanks for the laughs.
That's all right.
Hashtag hernia.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
good save, Tony.
Read that one out again. Why is he hashtagging hernia? Is he saying that he's laughed so hard he got a hernia? Or is he picking on my ailment from last week that I've kept under wraps?
I think he thinks the lump of my pants that's about as big as it gets. It's just a hernia.
Just a hernia.
At DJ Barnes 81.
Hey, Deej.
Hashtag grab a mirror at Dylan Alcott for being possibly the greatest human/athlete on the earth, winning trophies and sinking piss out of them. No shit, just a champion bloke.
Yeah, well, not everyone agrees. There was one bloke on Twitter. That's where I get all my information. Yeah. Jeez.
You'd have to trawl the earth, but for sure he'd be on Twitter and have an account.
But that was cool, the way he celebrated drinking out of his trophy. So for all those creditors out there, that's what I want the greatest segment in all the lands, grab a mirror trophy, to be like something that I can drink beer out of. Thank you. PO Box 4166. Can I have a go now?
Yep.
All right. Grab a mirror, David Kosh. You know the fella from Sunrise former.
Oh, one of the great flogs.
Look, I figure I've come this far. We're not going to get a gig on Channel 7, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't think we're hitting their demographics, to be honest.
No. I'm not sure what demographic we hit because we get no's from everyone.
Middle-aged piss wrecks, I'd say. But,
Well, Koshy, look, I know you love that show, Sunrise Former, but this week they've hit the headlines, and as a social media reporter that I am, a truth teller, it is my duty to call them out. This week, Koshy has decided to be all Captain COVID and solve the global pandemic by only allowing fully vaccinated people on the set to tend to his hair and makeup. The headline from news.com.au states that a ban has been introduced at Channel 7 that will see only fully vaccinated people be able to pander to Koshy's hair and makeup needs. Now, if ever there was a job that does absolutely fuck all, it's the hairdresser for David Kosh. I'm putting my resignation in immediately at IGA and applying for this job. Koshy's hairdresser, Boris Gereglikian's 11 a.m. speechwriter, and West Tigers ticker tape parade organiser are three jobs that I could do all at once and still have 24 hours a day spare. Who knew such a useless job existed, and I want it. And who knew that 18 months into a worldwide lockdown, old mate Koshy had all the answers? You've been sitting on that for a while, brother. It's like the time I sat next to, who was the NRL fella? Todd Greenberg at the barbers at Mortdale. I was like, the fuck are you sitting at a barber's for? You're bald. Anyway, he's making a difference, Koshy. I tried to reach out for comment at the show from the cash cow to see where she stands in all this. I'm assuming the cash cow is a she for obvious reasons, but she didn't return my calls.
Moved up to Berry, I believe.
I don't even know where I'm going with this grab a mirror. I just thought it was hilarious that Koshy has a fucking hairdresser. It's a joke. So grab a mirror, Koshy, you social warrior, tackling the big issues. Whereas really you should be on the corner in Martin Place handing out the big issue. Pick up the phone, brother. I want that job. I will go and get double vaxxed immediately if I can get that job. It's a fucking useless job. Three. That's all I got to say about that.
And here ends your TED Talk.
Yes, thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
At Hanoi Gin 123. Grab a mirror in game multis. Stop I've showing. Got me?
Yeah, I got you now.
At Hanoi Gym 123.
Hey, Hanoi, what do you got to say?
Grab a mirror in game multis. Stop showing large, super tempting payouts on bets that have less chance of happening than Dave pegging Monique after listening to at former underscore legends fascinating facts. Hashtag little drummer boy. Hashtag jerking off.
We've made celebrities out of Dave and Monique, but I'm not sure if old mate, who put that tweet in?
Hanoi Gym.
Hanoi Jim, I'm not sure you know how pegging works. Dave's not pegging Monique. It's probably the other way around. Just go and Google it.
Tell you what, if Dave is pegging Monique, something's gone wrong. Something's not right.
That's not right. You're doing it wrong. That's not how pegging works.
Much like if Monique said to Dave she'd like him to dock in her.
Yeah, there's no docking between a male and a female. And the dogging, you're doing it wrong. Look, we're here to educate you people. Will you just listen? Yeah, listen, Linda, listen.
While we're educating, Google Blue Waffle.
Two. Keep down.
At Pasha Bulka.
Hey, Pash.
Hashtag grab a mirror, Boris, in brackets, put her in it, at Gladys Good. B.
Yep.
You magnificent bastard. It takes a lot of effort to outdo at John Farnham, put him in it.
Yep.
But having a comeback tour within 24 hours of calling time is truly something special. Hashtag whispering Boris. Hashtag the last time. Hashtag maybe next time. Hashtag not today though.
You mark my words, when she gets kicked out of office at the next available opportunity, when she ever turns up to Parliament, she will get a job on the board of AGL because that was absolute peak gaslighting. She's like, I'm not turning up to these press conferences anymore. That was on the Sunday. Next minute, here I am on Monday. I never said that. Here I am. Away we go. Wow.
One.
What got number one this week, former?
At Latrell's advisor. Hashtag grab a mirror, all those driving alone wearing masks. It's equivalent to wearing a condom alone in bed. Hashtag mask holes.
Absolute mask holes.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look.
look at yourself and make a change.
Are you having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens Night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom-made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered.
Go to mareinc.com.au. Go to mareinc.com.au.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
Yes, at this time every week, we preview the round of NRL, and this week it's semi-finals round two. And of course, we welcome this bloke, Duncan McRae from bluebet.com.au. How are you, champion?
Very well, thank you, former. Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, former. Just watching something on the tube there, mate.
We're just talking about horses and horses' names. Obviously, one name you wouldn't look at naming horses, Sticking Fat, because you never did that last week. I'll give you the red hot tip.
What a win, former. Talk to me.
Unbelievable. Wayne is a genius. That's all I can say.
In Wayne we trust. He's got the magic dust. He not only won the game, he schooled Ivan Cleary.
Oh, do you reckon? Poor old Ivan's having twitches every half hour, thinking about where it all went wrong.
Well, don't you think he was carrying on like a bit of a sulk, former? Talk to me.
I wish I could get me chips as salty as he was on after that game. And you know what? Just showed how inexperienced he is. He should not have said a thing, and he made himself look like a goose.
Well, in Wayne we trust. In Wayne we trust. I'm a big Rabbitohs fan, punters out there, and geez, we've given ourselves every chance to get. As long as, I don't care if we win or lose, just get me to another GF, I'll be a very happy man.
Mate, I'll tell you what. Let's look at who you might be playing, because we start on Friday night, and it's the Manly Warringah Seagulls, $1.32, taking on the Sydney Roosters, $3.40, handicaps at 10.5 with Bluebet, $1.90. Take your pick, of course. Mate, I think it ends, doesn't it? This is it.
Well, let's hope it's a draw, extra time, and a midweek playoff game. That's what I'm tipping for.
A couple of suspensions, an injury.
A couple of injuries to both fullbacks would be nice, and we just need Victor to get suspended, both fullbacks hurt, and Daly Cherry Evans to continue playing.
Well, he's $1.30, Victor, to get to the next week. I mean, fair dinkum.
Let's be honest. Manly can't play any worse than they did last week. They were good early, and then Cherry Evans threw that loose pass. And you know as well as I do, we spoke about this a million times. Once Melbourne get ahead of you, it's just a different game. You really got to compete with them early and hopefully score early. If you let them get that 6, 12 ahead, they just grind you in the ground and they win by 40.
Mate, they turn you to dust, don't they? They're unbelievable.
Yeah, so you've got to tip Manly this week. Corey Thompson. How's Corey Thompson's week been? There's a bloke we haven't mentioned.
What about poor old Herbert?
Who was the centre former? What was his name?
Herbert.
Did he not realise David Fifita was next to him?
Herbert, Thompson, I mean, either of them are going to cross. Let's be fair, Dinkum.
Just give it to David Fifita, even if there's four guys in front of him, 10 out. He's not going to stop him.
And let's face it, if Fifita blows it from there, you can always say, well, that's 1.2 for you right there. Poor old Patrick Herbert, mate. He has stepped up into the Steve Maven.
And he had a good game, too, to be fair.
He had
a good game for him, but that's what it's about, survive and advance, and that's what the Roosters have done and what they've done all year. But you've got to think Manly can't be as bad as they were last week. I think they'll be frothing at the mouth. Now they know they're in the rabbit side of the draw. You have to think South Manly's a pick-em game, really. So I think the Seagulls win this week.
I think the Seagulls win this week, mate. I just think, and we've both spoken about how much admiration we have for the Roosters this year, which hurts both of us to say that, but the job Robinson's done in finding blokes and getting to just do their job, and they keep grinding out win after win after win. But I think this week is where the bubble stopped. The bubble bursts.
What a player Radley is. What a player he is.
Yeah, he's all guts. I don't think, I think, I expect Tommy might score 4 tries this week. There you go.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a high scoring game, and I'm with you. I think the Seagulls run away with it.
And this is at Steve Maven Showground, so poor old Patrick Herbert. He'll get named in future years, you'd imagine. But the second game of the weekend, and it's the Penrith Panthers, the Battle of the West, up against the Parramatta Reels. It's at Paul Carriage Park. It's $1.25 the Panthers. It's $4 the Eels. Handicaps 11.5 to the Eels. They won't
win. That Paul Carriage thing go back to when he booted it from under his post?
Unbelievable! And one of the worst decisions I've ever seen made on a football field.
And pull him out! I swear that
had a snapshot.
I swore it went over. Yeah, God, I love that Paul Carriage.
I was 14 beers deep that day, so I wasn't the best judge. I've got to be honest.
Look, Para. I think this is the Battle of the West. Obviously, not out west at Paul Carriage Park, but. Look, I think Penrith will win, but, mate, I just, what is Paulo in? Is he suspended for him, or what's the story there?
To be honest with you, I've only just got home and had a look myself. I'm not sure, but what I'll say about this game is the Eels to win just have to chance their arm.
Absolutely. I think they've just got to go back to that win they had against Melbourne where they just physically were into the game the whole time and just carved it up the middle, didn't go sideways, just played through. Like South did, you just got to complete high and kick long and just get in the grind. And I think if they can do that, Parramatta, it'll put a lot of doubt in Penrith's mind after they lost last week. But I think they'll be too good and too classy and, they'll be looking forward to Melbourne, but not in the grand final.
I think Brad Arthur's let an opportunity slip this week. He should have identified a couple of things where he thought Penrith were breaking the rules and really highlighted in the media, because Ivan would have went to dead set water if he had have. But I just don't see them losing 2 in a row. I think they'll come out all guns firing. I actually am worried for the Eels because I think Penrith might hit the lead early and then it might dead set open the floodgates in this one if that happens. Like I said, I think the only way the Eels can win is to just chance their arm. But I'm not even sure that they can do that with the quality that Panthers have on the field.
Yeah, I'm with you, Former. I think the Panthers will be too good. And wow, the Bunnies into the prelim. I can't get past it. I can't believe we won.
Mate, when did you think, right, we're in, we're home?
Well, I know they had Blake Taff at fullback. And I actually know the kid pretty well. I live at Little Bay. He's from La Perouse. I'm good mates with his dad. And he's a halfback. I know he dropped the first bomb, but they kept bombing him.
Yep.
He's a halfback. He's a very skillful kid. He's a very confident kid. I can't believe they didn't throw to Jackson Paulo a bit more, those bombs.
And, yeah.
I thought that was a bad,
It's funny. I was talking to a bloke who does know a fair bit about 42 during the week, and he said the same thing. He said, I think Penrith then got transfixed on doing the one kick all the time, thinking Taff would repeat the mistake, and he never did. And he more never... power to him.
Yeah, I couldn't believe, because Paulo, he's not, they've got the best hands out there. They didn't bomb him once.
Not once.
As soon as that kid dropped it once, they just went, and he did super. And in Wayne we trust, I'm so pumped, mate. Just get me to a GF former. Just get me to another one for the Bunnies.
Do you think it was a mistake that Luttrell might have appealed that charge now and rolled his arm at the judiciary?
What's that, sorry? You dropped.
Do you reckon it was a mistake that Luttrell didn't appeal his charge at the judiciary a couple of weeks ago and maybe got off it or got a downgrade? Luttrell. That would have been handy for you.
Mate, I was just that pumped. It was so good to be a Buddies fan.
Well, mate, let's find out who you play this week. Have a good weekend. Have a good week on the punt. Lord knows, if you need a horse to run second, give me a call. I am picking them from everywhere.
Oh, beautiful former. Take care, and all the listeners out there, mate, semi-final footy. It doesn't get any better.
Thanks, Jeremy, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
And as that was recorded earlier at the John Barilaro Lawsuit Studios, and I'm stuck here in the Craig Gower Quarantine Studios, here's my tips for the first semi-finals. Manly to beat the Roosters, Panthers to beat Para, and all through the final series, I'm going to be doing this.
listen to this bloke said punt.
This week's Sid's rough punt, thanks to Bluebet, Jason Saab to score first for Manly, into Brian To'o to score first for the Panthers at the juicy odds of $52.50, thanks to Bluebet. Get on it, punters.
If you wanna have a rough punt, then listen to this bloke said punt.
And it's this time every week we get a guest tipster from our Patreon subscribers. This week we have the great man, Richard Cheekwee.
G'day, Sid, former, and all you creditors. Richard Cheekwee here, and it's semi-final time at the footy. Well, two big games this weekend, and after a huge loss against the Bunnies, I think the Panthers will hit back and hit back strong against the Eels. Panthers in a comfortable one. The Seagulls and Chooks, well, this could be a nail-biter. I think it'll go down to the wire, but the class of Trbojevic will be just too much for the Chooks, and the Seagulls will win in a close one. Anyway, hope you're all safe and well, and just remember, it's rabbit season. Go the Bunnies.
The great Richard Cheekham. Shame he's leaving the Tigers.
Cheeks, he's a great man. Unfortunately, we couldn't do any live shows this year with Cheeks, but next year is another year.
Just ask Gladys.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Yes, the boys sack mail and feedback time. Sid, let's start with the tipping comp.
Okay.
Because things have gone ass up.
For you or for everyone?
Oh, no, mate, I'm long gone.
Yeah. I didn't even put my tips in last week.
You probably got more than me anyway. so we were hoping for the Black Jesus to just emerge from the clouds.
Yeah, when I heard about Black Jesus last week, what's happened to him?
So 159 is Dean Chalmers.
Yeah.
158 is the great Paul Croucher.
Yeah.
157 is Shorey Sheep. Yeah. 157 is Johnny Williams, Super Troopers.
Yeah.
157, Black Jesus. He's got two out of four last weekend.
So Dino's out in front.
Dino's out in front and will be hard to catch, I'd imagine.
Black Jesus isn't going to catch Dino. Who's on 158, did you say?
Paul Croucher, who was leading last week, I think.
So it's between Dino and the Croucher.
Yep. Oh, no, it must have been Dino was leading last week, so yeah.
Who knows? I don't listen this deep in.
I don't know.
But that's exciting. We had dual winners last year because I cocked it up. So there's three names on this perpetual trophy. Probably Dino or Croucher will get their name on there unless Black Jesus performs a black miracle and jumps up somehow. Let's see what happens.
Walks on water.
Oh, it's all happening.
Anything you want to talk to us about?
I do have something to talk about. I'm doing a little project, a little docu-series, a podcast for it. Yeah, I'm doing a separate podcast from this one.
Oh, that worked out well for Normie, so best of luck.
Yeah, did I forget to mention it like Normie did? Just did one episode at the beginning of the season, said, no, I'm off. What was his podcast? That was good.
How does stuff work or something explains it or...
Ah, good old Normie.
Mamma Mia or something, I don't know.
I've been working on a serious podcast. It's not going to have dick jokes. It's about rugby league and Western Suburbs and Balmain and how they eventually merged. It's going to be a little series on thehorde.com. That's thehorde.com. Go look them up. I'm working on it. It should be finished pretty soon and will be available in the off-season. If people still want to hear my dulcet tones in the off-season, they can go and tune into that. What else you got?
Yes.
Anything?
Let's do some little trivia, a little bit of trivia.
Former Legends facts?
Mm.
Let's see if Dave and Monique aren't busy docking and they can contribute to this segment.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's former legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
I think Dave's limping around the kitchen making his noodles at the moment, by all accounts.
Wondering where it all went wrong. He pegged Monique and she just didn't like it. How's this one?
Hit me.
Male fruit flies rejected by females drink significantly more alcohol than those that have had a successful encounter. That's why they call me the fruit fly down at the pub.
It's not the only reason they call you the fruit fly. When you open your wallet, fruit flies and moths fly out. And yeah, you're hung,
and
like
hung
one.
Like, yeah. Hung like a fruit fly, yeah. What about this one?
I didn't go for the obvious hanging fruit there, but anyway, you did.
Unusual. I agree with what you're saying. Certain high-end shoe brands develop the arch in their high-heeled shoes to approximate the arch in a woman's pelvis when she is having an orgasm.
Shut up.
The heels create a contraction in the pelvic floor, which is problematic because the pelvic floor then cannot contract further during the orgasm. An orgasm is usually like going from 0 to 60. If you wear these shoes, you're already around 55, and you're not going to have the full experience. So basically, wearing high heels or some brands of high heels can negatively affect a woman's orgasm, especially if I'm wearing them, Sid. But
yeah, that's not an image I want in my head.
Yeah.
What a fascinating fact. Where do you get this stuff from? Yeah, anyway.
Don't know. Back of my fantails. I know, it's weird. Well, before we go next week, obviously, with you doing this other podcast.
Don't be bitter about it. It's okay.
No. Three to go.
Yeah, only three to go.
Baby, am I gonna see some action?